Hi, welcome to episode number 8 in the podcast series from nptechprojects.org. I'm your host, Jim O'Reilly, and I'm here with Birgit Pauli Haack. We are among the founders of NP Tech Projects. Today we're going to discuss blogging and your editorial calendar. If you are not the executive director at your nonprofit organization, please share that with those people.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening again. Greetings from Florida, where the weather is a nice 81 degrees. Before we dive deeper into blogging, we have some short news around NP Tech community. You'll find the links are listed in the show notes for this episode number 8 on nptechprojects.org.
Google announced on November the 4th that it will divide its index into mobile and desktop. If your organization doesn't have a responsive site yet, you are at risk of providing a considerable decrease in your search engine visibility. Check out our blog post from last week. And while we're on the topic of Google and your website, if your website's not running HTTPS, be sure to change that as soon as possible. We mentioned in another blog post that Google already gives higher page ranks to sites on the secure protocol. Here's another reason. Come January 2017, Google Chrome is updating their browser to clearly name and shame, as they call it, any websites running on encrypted connections. This could be a real user confidence issue for nonprofit organizations that run sites and stores on the standard HTTP protocol. Check in with your hosting company about that, especially if they provide free SSL certificates issued by Let's Encrypt, a service of the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
WordPress will release the 4.7 version in December. The large team of contributors made considerable changes to the admin section, as well as for the multi-site version. It will also bring a new reference theme. For the first time, it's geared towards businesses. You will be able to customize it with a few clicks. Its name, 2017. The version is right now in beta stage, and we will be testing it this week. The WP for Good Club will do a free webinar on December 13th at 2 p.m. Eastern on what's new in 4.7. Please check out the announcement on our website.
We got our first iTunes review. Sandy Reed writes, "Tech talk that's real. I truly enjoyed listening to your podcasts. I like how you break down technical issues into simple concepts that are easy to understand while staying on point, not drifting off into a 5-minute side story. You cut through the fluff and stay focused on your topic. Each time I listen, I walk away with something new I can apply to my professional tasks at work and/or my tech issues at home. For example, episode 5, when we discussed Google Analytics, I think adding a podcast guest with this specific expertise is exceptionally helpful. Yesenio Sotelo's answers to your questions were clear and easy to follow. In my work environment, where the word analytics probably would make some disappear into another room, I welcomed the so-called listening journey Yesenio took me on. She walked me through some how-tos and why certain statistics are more important than others. Keep up the great work." Thank you so much, Sandy. We appreciate the detailed feedback and glad that you find our information so helpful. Now to our audience, please leave us your feedback on iTunes or on Google Play Store and wherever you're listening from. You can also send us an email to podcast@nptechprojects.org.
So I want to kick off the topic of blogging with a few numbers and why we feel blogging is the most beneficial medium for your online footprint. And we tell you why in a few minutes. HubSpot, providing online marketing tools for thousands of businesses, found that organizations that blog have 67% more lead generation than those who do not. They did not distinguish between nonprofits and small business, but there is no reason that the advantage of blogging doesn't apply to nonprofits. In HubSpot's ebook, Introduction to Blogging for Nonprofits, they write, "Marketeers who have prioritized blogging are 13 times more likely to enjoy a positive ROI. But merely writing blog articles won't dramatically transform your marketing. Your blog has to be well optimized and promoted, and most of all, rich with content. The blog engine on your website, your own email list of constituents are the two stable entities you can control. Even if Facebook seems to be easier to handle and the community is very engaged, keep in the back of your mind that you're operating on rented land." Pew Research published last summer News Use Across Social Media Platforms 2016 and found 2/3 of Facebook users get news on the site. Nearly 6 in 10 Twitter users get news on Twitter, and 7 in 10 Reddit users get news on that platform. On Tumblr, the figure is 31%, while the other five social networking sites, it's true only for about one-fifth or less of their user bases. 81% of US online consumers trust information and advice from blogs. Blogger found already out in 2012. That should cover why blogging for now. If you have further questions, post them on our website or send a note to podcast@nptechprojects.org.
We're thrilled to have Jesse Drummond with us today. Jesse is the Environmental Education Specialist with Crew Land and Water Trust and was a featured speaker at our Tech for Good meeting this month. She has been involved with Crew since 2010 as a hiker, volunteer, social media manager, and environmental educator. Jesse's passion for Crew is evident in every hike led, every lesson taught, every presentation given. But it doesn't stop there. She keeps Crew in the public eye 24 hours a day through their website, blog, and on Facebook and Twitter. Jesse grew up moving around a lot as a military child and came down to Florida to attend Florida Gulf Coast University. She graduated in 2014 and earned a BA in Environmental Studies. While at FGCU, she was very involved in the Honors Program and many environmental clubs on campus. She helped develop the Service Learning Coordinator position at the Food Forest and studied abroad in Ghana and Costa Rica. After graduation, she was awarded the prestigious Ellen Peterson Award for her work in environmental education. Her connection to Florida's natural landscape and passion for education led her to Crew. She fell in love with the swamps, marshes, and oak hammocks. You can find her on the trails sloshing around the woods and sharing her love for water and wildlife with other people. Hello, Jesse. Thanks for joining us today.
What an introduction. Thank you.
I've got a series of questions that I'd like to get through so we can help our listeners to understand what you're doing with your blogging program. Why don't we start at the top? Tell us a little bit about your blogging project.
So our blogging project started in May 2016 for this year. What we wanted to start off as is to have blogs pre-written for every single week for the season down here in Florida, which is typically November to May, April. And so I wanted to make sure that I had a blog each week pre-written, ready to go out and posted. The blogging project that kind of came around that is we started making a calendar of dates of when things were going out, as well as an Excel sheet kind of talking about which are the topics, what's the content, what are we going to write about. So basically having everything ready to go on an Excel sheet to make it easier for me to not only write them, but to know what I'm writing and to have everything ready before season. So it was really a great time management tool, as well as just prep for the busiest time of the year that we have down here in Florida, which is, you know, November to April.
Yes, it's a very challenging project that you've started. Which topics did you include in your editorial calendar?
So most of the topics were circled around events that would be happening during season. So whether those were guided hikes or our big concert, or we would have certain days of the weeks that we had guided hikes on. So it was kind of all around the events that we were having out on the trails or in town. And then it would go even further to talk about what you would expect to see on the trails. So whether that was trail conditions or what is it looking like out there. Yeah. So during, you know, November, December, January time period, I have a lot of third graders on the field trip. So I wrote a blog about be prepared to have, you know, close to 85 third graders on the trails with you, which might discourage some people, but might get other people to want to go out there and see it. So I just, you know, it's really just making sure that people know ahead of time what to expect out there. And then the third tier of our blogging was to provide people with new information, whether that's new information about our watershed, the wildlife, or water conservation, or just what's happening out here on CREW, which stands for Corkscrew Regional Ecosystem Watershed. You know, the land that I work on is such a vast land, and there's so much projects that go on and partnerships that go on with it. And so, you know, that third tier of blogging was hopefully to convey to people, you know, what we do out here and why it's important.
Our audience might not know that when you talk about your concert, that that is your major annual fundraising event. How did you decide where to put that in the sequence of your blogging project?
We really wanted to make sure that people got the date as soon as possible. We had our first blog about the saving the date for the concert go out this month in November. And the way that I did it is leading up to the concert, which it's our crew concert and silent eco auction. We ended up making $30,000 last year. And all of that goes back to helping us provide free field trips. When blogging for that, we decided to definitely start as early as possible, at least one blog a month, as early as possible, just reminding people to save the date and that it was coming up. And then as we get closer, starting in December and January, we'll have it. December will be biweekly, and then in January, I think it's almost every week. And then in February, we even have it twice a week that we'll have new content coming out, whether it's reminding people that we have silent eco auctions or reminding them who the bands are or if there's something new that comes up. Just started pre-writing all of that ahead of time.
What types of content do you actually produce?
It's a wide variety, I would say, because we provide content on event details, who, what, when, where, why, what are things happening, the content of what's happening out on the trails. We wanted to start doing more of this now that we've had good feedback on our blog and good feedback on people commenting and interacting on our website. We really want to increase the information, you know, the useful information, things that people can take away. And so we really want to start getting into the nitty-gritty about watersheds, our aquifers, water conservation. And so that's things that we're, our goals looking forward, you know, in the next few years is we really want to ramp up the more content, especially on important topics like water.
When you set up your calendar, do you always publish at the same time of day?
Right now, yes. The calendar, it's on every Monday is when I put the dates for when we would be publishing everything. And I like to publish things in the morning because that's when I get into the office and I read all my emails. So I figured that's when people might be on Facebook, social media, on their email. So I will also say my blogs through WordPress, we were able to set up to get published to go to our Facebook as well as our Twitter. And then at the end of the month, we also set it up through MailChimp to collect all of the blogs that we wrote that month and send it out in an email. That's beneficial for many reasons. So I like that because it's giving us more of an effect. So I'm not just writing a blog just to go on our website. I'm writing a social media update. I'm writing a Twitter update. And I'm also writing a monthly email blast to go out to my members, volunteers, and other people. But currently, right now, it's being posted on our website every Monday in the morning. And I'm starting to realize that that might not be the best time. But just because that's when people are getting into the office and things get piled up really easily. I want to make sure that, you know, when people look at our website and or look at our social media or see my emails, that it's not something that they steer away from. I want them to click it. I want them to be engaged.
What results would you like to see that you're not seeing now?
Definitely the hard part with results, with I currently don't have any analytics set up to figure out what's being clicked and what's not being clicked. So one of the big things that we wanted for this blogging project is we wanted each event that we have out at Crew to have a blog. That way it would be posted on social media and it would be posted everywhere. So that would be our way of marketing all of our events. And then we also wanted to make sure useful information would get out, whether that's about the trails or water conservation. And then we also wanted to make sure that people were clicking back to our website and clicking back to either donating or signing up for an event. So on each of our blogs, I have clicks a link to either go straight to the donation page or straight to the event where they can sign up. That way, you know, there's always some type of action that someone can take away from after reading. And I will say the one thing that I really look forward to later is potentially setting up some type of analytic to track how many people are actually clicking on those links that I put on there and potentially even how many of those people that go to the donation page or go to an event sign up. So it's really tracking what's the larger impact. I mean, right now we're looking at our Facebook analytics, but what I'm finding out, it's only 90 days, it's quarterly. So if I wanted to look back at our concert, you know, because I post so much about the concert and I wanted to see how many people actually signed up for the concert or went to Facebook and saw something, I really can't go back that far with Facebook analytics, which is a little bit of a bummer. So right now I really don't have a lot of data behind all of the work that we've put into this. I do definitely get comments from people being like, oh, I saw your event on your website and we signed up, but I just don't have it in numbers, which is what I would really like to have.
Birgit, how can we make Jesse's life easier?
It's totally right. You want to see how productive or how successful your workers. Your website actually has a Google Analytics tracking on there. So you would be able to go back and at least see that part of it to see, okay, when I posted something somewhere, or every month there was this email newsletter going out, did people come to the website from there? Best way to help you there would be to show you where you can look this traffic up, what your audience is, how they come to that, and what they're doing on your website, and also see when they land on a page, what is the second page that they look at. Yeah, so you see the landing pages that come in and what happens afterwards. So that's certainly something that we can look at it together to just specific answer those questions. Another way would be to look at the links that you put in and see if you can add additional tracking for campaigns. Yeah, so you have now every month at least one post about the concert. So the links that are in there for registration or for learning more can be kind of attached with a campaign modifier. So you can separate that out in your analytics and have one that says campaign, and then you can look how much traffic would come through those links. And you can do this also on links on your MailChimp account. So if you modify your template, you can put the same campaign in code, and then you see, okay, you have different kind of ways to track the campaign with different kind of channels. So it'd be very granular.
Oh, that's perfect. That's exactly what we're looking for. That would be great.
When you made your presentation at the Tech for Good Club, one of the things I was very impressed with was your idea of inviting people to do a guest blog for you. When you ask people to blog, do you ask them to blog about a specific topic, or do you let them choose their topic, or how do you do that?
Well, I guess it depends on the person that you're asking. Recently, what I've been looking for are members of Crew Land and Water Trust, the nonprofit that I work for, to kind of write about why they're members, what they benefit from it, and you know, what's their passion, what drives them to donate to us. And so at that point, I do ask specific questions. So it's kind of like an interview, you know, like, I would like you to hit on these topics. Try to stay in 500 to 700 words, you know, maybe even less. So yeah, I kind of give them some things to hit on that way that we kind of stay on topic. One of our other guest writers is our volunteer, Dick Brewer, and he is just a vast amount of information of wildlife. I mean, you can ask him about any animal and he could give you a whole essay on what the information he knows about it. And so for him, we kind of just let him go with it. We asked him one time just to give us question and answer. So I gave him a question like, what do barred owls eat and why do they eat that? And so he, you know, typed up a whole thing and was able to send it. And so we kind of started a question and answer blog with him where we just asked the expert, you know, an answer and he'd give it to us. And so that was really nice because, you know, when you can find people that are self-directed and take that off, because everyone in the nonprofit world is overworked. We all are. And so if you can find ways to delegate to people and really, you know, trust them to take over something, it's a lot of help. It really is. So he's been, you know, great to work with.
Have you thought of looking for a public figure of some sort and ask them to blog?
Not currently. I have to say, I guess it would depend on what we're looking for. The hard part with Crew Land and Water Trust, the nonprofit itself, we have, it's in our bylaws that we try not to get political with anything. So if we were looking for like a figurehead to write on something, it would probably, I would be comfortable with keeping it in the nonprofit, whether that's a member or a volunteer or trustee. So we have a board of trustees. So if I could ever get any of them to write something to go out, whether that's about a topic that's happening, land acquisition, why they're a trustee, they would be a big one that I would love to get one day on our website. So.
Okay, good. Maybe a former professor might be a good idea.
Yes, we were lucky enough to actually, we had a Florida Gulf Coast University professor do podcasts with us. And then he actually translated all the podcasts and typed them out. And so we, at the beginning, were able to put those into blogs. But I would love to get more of that. That would be great.
Have you republished, with permission, of course, blog posts from similar organizations?
I haven't done like a full blog from another organization, but I have taken, there's always so many other environmental events that are going around town. And we try our best to be a good partner And we want to make sure that if there's other events that are going on, and especially if we're going to be there, or even if we're not, that if we can post about it, we do. And so at that point, I do take some content from their page, link it, ask them permission, and make sure that, you know, we try to be as best of a partner as we can be for them, because then that will also, again, connect to our social media and hopefully get out to all of our followers.
When you look forward to your next 40 blog posts for next year, what kind of data would you like to look at before you start rolling out your editorial calendar for next year? It's coming up soon.
I'm going to have to start thinking about some stuff. I guess the biggest thing would be definitely finding out the times of the day that are best for things to go out, and what people are clicking on most. I can't get around, I would have to make blogs about each event just because that's our way of marketing them, but maybe certain content ones, like, are people not as interesting? You know, there's other ways that you can find out about our trail conditions, whether that's our Facebook, or we have an infographic that is constantly being updated. So maybe people don't like seeing all those blog posts. So yeah, I guess it would be finding out, like, what people are clicking on the most, what they're reading the more about. And if they want more of those heavy blog content, you know, posts, maybe that's really what we should be spending more time on. And if that means, you know, reaching out to a writer, or working with a writer to increase the heavy content, then, you know, if it's worth our time, and then, you know, that's something that we should look forward to. But it would be good to have the data and the research in the background, because, you know, anytime we're applying for grants or asking for more money or working with trying to add someone to our team, it's always important to make sure you have the data to back everything up.
When looking at your data, you would need to look at it from two angles. One is the reactions and click behavior of people on Facebook and on emails. On the other hand, the long tail traffic coming from the search engine and the performance of your website because of your larger footprint in the Google index for a vast amount of search phrases. Your email subscribers are people you already know, and they have 4 or 5 choices every month in your newsletter because you publish one blog post every week. And MailChimp's statistics for clicks and open will reveal what posts are the most read content for your members and subscribers. You can also follow what they do on your website once they get there. It's a metric that tells you more about the flavor of the months, as it's mostly restricted to a couple of weeks after the e-news went out, up to 6 to 8 weeks after the original post. The visitors coming from search engines are a little bit different because they showed specific intent. When they went to Google, they had a question or they wanted to learn more. So it will be definitely interesting to see which are the blog posts that are showing up most often on search engine and function as landing pages for visitors long after they have been published. They might not have been that popular with your subscribers, but they might be highly informative for potential new donors, hikers, or volunteers.
I have to say, someone asked me at our meeting, you know, is it worth it? Because I did write like 40, you know, pages worth of stuff, and I put a lot of time into our editorial calendar to like plan this out. And then I even used a time management tool to make sure I was getting all of them done so I wouldn't have like 30 blogs to write in 1 week. You know, so I put a lot of effort into planning this out and typing them all out. You know, I think what makes it really worthwhile is because it does connect to so many different facets, not only Facebook, but Twitter. It goes out in email. So whether people are seeing it on our website, there's so many different avenues for them to see these blogs and to see the content, which really makes it worthwhile.
Well, Jesse, this has been terrific. You're a fun interview.
Thanks so much for having me. This is great. And it's been phenomenal working with you and Birgit and the NP Tech Projects. Y'all do some really great work, and we're so happy to be staying with you and continue to work with you. You're our tech gurus for everything. And I do have to say, a lot of this would not be able to happen without your support. So it's been really great working with you both.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, once again, we'd like to thank Jesse Drummond for her time and for the very valuable information she provided us about blogging and how she manages her editorial calendar. For now, we're signing off from mttechprojects.org. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to our website. And we'd really appreciate it if you share this blog with a friend or with another nonprofit. Thanks again.
Goodbye.